absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to the golden anniversary show of Absolutely Intercultural. Yes, this is show number 50, and we're delighted and surprised to still be here. We'd also like to say thank you to everyone for supporting us, writing comments on the blog, voting for us in award schemes, sending us audio files, giving us ideas and links, and last but not least, thank you to all those people who've taken part so far. Without all these different types of support, I don't think we could have got beyond show number 5. What have we got for you today? We have not one, but two winners of our competition to win a music CD. One of our winners attended the first one-year birthday party of a supermarket in Denmark.
They had fantastic bargains.
While our second winner assures me that it's possible to have 3 nationalities.
Now my children have 3 citizenships.
We have news of a free online conference about multicultural issues next week.
Dr. Michelle Sellinger, the Director of Education Cisco Systems, and she'll be talking about cultural considerations when using information technology.
And we talk extensively with Vance Stevens, who's a dab hand at bringing people together from all corners of the world from his base in the United Arab Emirates.
You can see that at that time, 10 years ago, they had changed their mentality from one of restricting information to one of, okay, you know, we see where it's going now. And that was happening in the United Arab Emirates.
I first met Vance, virtually, of course, 6 years ago, and have been impressed by his mission to bring people from all cultures together in their common pursuit of learning English. I was interested in a recent article he had published about the challenges of introducing Web 2.0 technology in Arabic education, but I wanted to ask him first to explain how he ended up in the United Arab Emirates and to what extent emigrating from America caused him to be out of the loop professionally.
I'm Vance Stevens, and I have lived in Abu Dhabi for the last 10 years or more. Before that, I was in Oman for some time, and then California for a couple of years, and Hawaii for 4 years, and Saudi Arabia before that. So I've actually lived quite a lot of time in the Arab world, but right now I'm in Abu Dhabi at the Petroleum Institute, which is an engineering college here, and I teach computing. But my background is really ESL, Microsoft ESL. But I came to Abu Dhabi as a consultant in a language center, which they had just started, and I was in charge of the educational technology side of it.
What drew you to the Arab world in the first place?
Well, my uncle worked in Saudi Arabia back in the 60s, and I think he sort of influenced me. I visited my uncle, who was working for the USIS and director of the language schools and things. He had a pretty nice life. So I just got into language teaching. And both my children have done that as well. Both my 2 sons are both language teachers, falling into that. It's just kind of a nice lifestyle. I think, language teaching, the thing that kept that alive for me was the computer-assisted language learning aspect. Nowadays, it's more computer-mediated communication, communities of practice, and what I call distributed learning networks, which is actually something I got from Stephen Downs, and connectivism, that sort of thing.
You talked in your article about that in the past, that when people left their homelands, that they were considered out of the loop, that you weren't considered as making any progress in your career. But you haven't experienced that, have you?
Well, I did when I lived in Saudi Arabia, and that was from 1976 to 81 or so. And back then, you had very little contact. That happened to be a society which was kind of closed off to new ideas. In some ways, I think it still is, although I think it's changing under the present government. But it's a place where it's very easy for people to, especially at that time, they were very well paid and they would spend their lives there. And then when they would try to get jobs elsewhere, you would see how they really were not connected. People had moved into the internet. Saudi Arabia was not on the internet for quite a long time. So, when in an age where computing skills were needed to, you know, move on in jobs. You know, and it's just very obvious when you would interview people in that kind of environment. So, but what's really changed things, I think, is the, you know, Web 2 certainly, the interconnectedness of, you know, the internet. Even when I came out to Abu Dhabi in 1997, it was to set up a language school. And at the time, we were trying to negotiate the design of the school. And the people here at that time, in 1997, 10 years ago, they said that we could not give internet to all the students. The teachers could have it, they said. And that was when I was doing the consultancy to set it up. When we arrived on the spot and they actually built the school, they put it in for all the students. So you can see that at that time, 10 years ago, they had changed their mentality from one of restricting information to one of, okay, you know, we see where it's going now. And that was happening in the United Arab Emirates, and it was probably a little bit later to take place, say, in Oman or neighboring countries. So this kind of the idea that you can't keep your thumb in the dike forever, that, you know, you've got to let the information flow, for expatriates, it's, you know, an issue. From 1997, when I sat there and started just interacting with people online because the connection was there, you know, I was in an expatriate situation, which is one I was used to not, you know, normally it would be a situation where I would be out of the loop, but you know, with connectivity, you can get in it.
So connectivity is the key to staying informed. Now is a good time to end speculation about the competition we've been running to win a music CD by Rivas, the traditional Czech band. We asked you what the third instrument was that's played by the band, in addition to the double bass and violin. And the answer was the dulcimer or cymbalom. And after no entries, we suddenly got two correct replies within a week. Let's hear from one of the absolute winners, Susanna Nyrup from Denmark.
Congratulations on winning the CD.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It's very interesting music.
I'm glad you enjoy it. I didn't tell anybody that I had two CDs to be won. But as I got two right answers within a week of each other, I thought, well, I might as well offer the second CD as well. So congratulations.
Thank you.
This show is our 50th show. Very special.
Mm-hmm.
In Denmark, anniversaries are very important. It's very important in Denmark to celebrate anniversaries for the number of years you've been working.
Oh, yes, yes.
But another thing that strikes me in Denmark is it's not just people who have anniversaries, but also shops. And I find that a little strange that I'm being invited to celebrate the birthday of a shop.
I think I went to the first supermarket 1 year jubilee in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I lived in a town not far from Copenhagen, and we had the honor of having the very first real supermarket with self-service.
Mm.
Earlier, we used to have, you know, three grocery stores and two butchers and two bakers and so on, and one inn and one blacksmith. And then suddenly the modern times came to Bauswehr in the 60s, and the most innovative of the groceries, he opened a supermarket. And when they celebrated their first birthday, they had fantastic bargains. And I remember how me and my mother, we went shopping. We took one of those trolleys and had one full trolley of food, a huge amount of food, which we would never or otherwise have bought in such a hurry at a time we usually bought for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And now we had food for 2 months, perhaps. That was really, really a change in our consumer habits.
We'll be hearing more very soon from Vance Stevens, but by sheer coincidence, I got a mail recently from Elaine Hota in Israel, who wanted to tell us about a free online conference, which will be happening on February the 13th, and which also features Vance as one of the speakers. I asked Elaine to send me an audio message about the conference, but unfortunately the result was of uneven quality. So we'll go absolutely educational, let Elaine tell you about the conference, and I'll supply some practical details afterwards.
Hi everyone. I know that you're all very interested in multiculturalism. The conference takes place in different teaching colleges in Israel. A little bit of information about the actual lectures itself. When you go into the conference, you can register already for the conference. Even though it's free, we'd like you to register. It starts off with a lecture in Arabic and then a lecture in Hebrew. But you all want to join us for the third lecture, which should take place at about 10 to 11 GMT. If you go into the site, you'll be able to see your own time, where we'll be hearing a lecture live from Australia from Dr. Michelle Sellinger, the Director of Education Cisco Systems, and she'll be talking about cultural considerations when using information technology. Then after following that, we have Interwise sessions, and you'll be able to hear Vance Stevens from the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, followed by, he'll be talking about RSS tagging and collaboration online. Then you'll be able to hear Dr. Sheila Gerrish talking about the cultural quest projects taking place throughout the world where different cultures learn about different cultures. And then the last lecture will be from Dr. Janet Salmons, who's president of Vision to Lead, leading expert in the world in collaboration. And she's talking about from dialogue to synergy, building collaborative relationships. So it all sounds very interesting, and we'd love you all to join us. And we hope to see as many of you there as possible. Thank you very much.
If you're interested in taking part in this interesting event, then you need to go to the following web address, http://tak.macam.ac.il. And if you didn't catch that, then you can find the link on our own website at http://www.absolutely-intercultural.com. The conference is on Wednesday, February the 13th, and starts at 10 a.m. GMT. Elaine, I'm sorry that you don't sound here exactly as you do in real life, something to do with different recording speeds. And so back to Vance Stevens in the UAE, where I was interested in finding out more about the use of Web 2.0 tools in Arabic educational institutions. I think I have to call this absolutely connected.
Can I ask you a little bit more about this Web 2.0 way of teaching or learning? Because one of the main points about Web 2.0 is that people are producing material for themselves, and this means that the students have to take a much more active role in their own learning because they're the ones who are producing materials. How does that go down in your part of the world? Do you find that easy to get your students to follow you in that?
Well, you know, once the students are introduced to it, then they sort of take over from there. But it is hard, especially what I do. You see, I don't really teach English. I teach computing. You know, I've been teaching a curriculum that I feel has been is kind of outdated. But I'm starting to have an impact on it, and I'm starting to move it into the Web 2 environment. And my colleagues and the students, of course, you know, when they're exposed to it, they seem, oh, okay, you know, this is... They seem to like it. They seem to think that it's... I think at first I had to convince my coordinator when he slowly became aware, I think, of what I was doing, and he accepted the fact that I had things to contribute. You know, with his go-ahead, then convincing colleagues and doing this with students is not really a problem at all. They really like, especially the students, they really like working with these wikis and all the things that we... let them play with. They enjoy it quite a bit.
Was looking at your article that you wrote about introducing the difficulties of introducing Web 2.0 in your part of the world, and I was wondering, well, actually, it's quite difficult to introduce it in my part of the world. So what's so special about your part of the world? I mean, are there any specific difficulties that you're experiencing?
Yeah, I think what you touched on when you talked about being out of the loop, because if you're not in a network, then it is very easy to be, and it could be anywhere. You could be where you are, or you could be where I am, and people who are just not staying connected are not learning new things as they go, and not realizing that they are not really up to date. So, and doing things probably quite well in the way that they are, have been doing them for a long time. Yeah, I think these people who don't change are always worried. They're aware that there is change, but they don't really know how to touch it. You know, so they don't know really how to make the change themselves. And this is because they're not networked. You know, if they're networked, then they can see other people will help them. You know, to change. You know, to improve their technique. You know, and using the tools that actually help them to network. The tools that are networking them will help them to network their students. You know, so you have to model these things.
So connection is the key.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I've never been to your part of the world, and I have an image of education there as being very transmissive, and that the teacher is the authority.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I mean, you could say that about where I grew up in America as well. You know, I mean, it's changing now. It's certainly changing. You know, they're learning about social networking. You know, the kids are learning that way. And it's not so transmissive. But I think that kind of takes place in a place where change is happening all around you. And so, yeah, here in the Arab world, it's not happening all around you. It's certainly happening. I mean, you could say it's happening all around you because it's taking place in other countries around you, you know, because no country is an island anymore. People who are not changing are aware that there is change. And in a way, they kind of change. But in another way, they don't really know how to make the change because they're not connected. You know, they need to connect with people who can help them to change.
So it seems that the challenges faced by Vance in the UAE are probably familiar to many teachers the world over. Finally, today, when I contacted the winner of the first Rivas CD, Mai Beridal, in the Netherlands, the name told me that she was not completely Dutch. But I was quite unprepared to find out how many nationalities one person can have at a time. Let's go absolutely international.
Well, I'm very excited because I've got in touch with the winner of our competition. So when you sent me this email, I saw your name, which is Mai Beridal, and I thought, that sounds a little bit Danish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the address where I had to send the CD was in the Netherlands.
Uh-huh.
But that's not all. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I grew up in Denmark, and I went to school and high school there. And when I finished high school, I went to New Zealand, originally only for a year or something like this. But I ended up staying about 10 years, going to university and starting working there. At some point while I was there, I went to Mexico because I was studying Spanish in Auckland. And I made a habit of staying longer than I planned. The original idea was 6 weeks, and I stayed for almost a year because I met a Mexican guy. Well, that was part of the reason. Of course, the official reason was that I needed a bit more exposure to the language. My supervisor at home had expected as much, so she wasn't at all surprised. And after that year in Mexico, I went back to New Zealand. My partner stayed in Mexico, and after some years in different countries, he ended up in the Netherlands, where, funnily enough, we both had plans to come when we met.
That's a really interesting background you've got there.
That's what a lot of people say. How does a Mexican and a Danish person end up in the Netherlands? It just seems so far away from everything, you know, and the New Zealand.
So what is your nationality now?
Danish and New Zealand.
Oh, sorry, I'm surprised because I thought that you weren't allowed to have dual citizenship in Denmark.
No, not if you choose it as an adult, but if you were born with it, it's like not your fault and you can keep it. Yeah, I was wondering as well because that was the idea I always had, and the Danish ambassador to New Zealand at the time assured me that his children had dual citizenship and that it was not a problem. So now my children have three citizenships.
Really? Now that's a first. I've never met people with three citizenships.
Well, I have in New Zealand. Dual citizenship is very common in New Zealand and Australia, of course. Mm-hmm. And I have met a few people with triple also. But it all depends on whether or not you're born with it.
Right.
If I were to apply for Dutch citizenship now, for example, I would definitely lose my Danish citizenship, which I don't want to. Mm. And also my husband, he can't apply for Danish citizenship without, in theory, losing his Mexican citizenship, except Mexico doesn't allow this sort of thing, you know. No matter what people tell them, as far as the Mexican government is concerned, they'll be Mexican forever.
Well, that's all very interesting. And I think some people might think that this is a bit of a fix because of your Danish roots, but I never spoken to you before.
Yeah.
Before tonight.
Yeah, true. I can confirm that, yeah.
So you're one of our listeners, and I'm really interested to know, how did you find out about our podcast and what makes you listen to it?
Now, I work in international education. So I received an advance notification that you were going to be starting this podcast. I can't remember. It was an email from some study abroad organization.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one. But, yeah, that's how I heard about it. So I listened to the first podcast, and I don't get to listen every time, but I try to catch up as much as possible.
Wow, it feels as though you should get a long service award. Well, that's amazing. So you've been listening, and do you realize that this is show number 50? Yeah, it's rather special. Why do you listen?
Because there aren't very many podcasts or programs, I guess, that I've come across that deal with international education and the meetings of different cultures in as specific a way as you do.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for intercultural stuff on the internet also, and it's mainly, you know, on the internet you find training programs for people working in all sorts of contexts, but you don't find so many sites or reference to sources that deal with the cultural aspect. I also studied anthropology, social anthropology, and of course you can find academic literature on these sort of issues, but just kind of down to earth, real life, practical, experience-based information I haven't come across, really.
Well, I'd better stop there, otherwise people will think I'm paying you to say all these things. It's been great talking to you, and I hope you enjoy the CD, and I hope you enjoy our future shows as well. And thank you really very much for taking part.
Oh, thank you very much for the CD. Well, I guess you did pay me in a way.
Congratulations to Mai and to Susanna. Thank you for listening to these past 50 shows. And don't forget that if you want to hear more from Vance on a professional basis, that he's part of a free online conference on February the 13th. The next Absolutely Intercultural show will be coming to you from Lorraine in Germany on February the 22nd. And until then, stay tuned, won't you?
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.